And sometimes that happens to me. So I put a piano mic over there, a different mic, and I think that's what's causing our trouble, brother. So thank you for your help. Amen. I put a microphone over there because sometimes we have a little trouble with our cordless mic reaching over there. So I put a corded mic over there, and I think we were getting a little feedback out of those monitors, and I'm getting so old I didn't think of it. So anyway, was it all right anyway? Okay, good. All right, good. Amen. All right, come back tomorrow. Usually the last night of the meeting, we have the PA just right. That's usually the way it works. Amen. But I appreciate brother. It's Brother Rick, right? Brother Rick helping us this week with the PA. Done a good job, and I appreciate that. We're going to be in the book of Job. We took a little detour last night, but I want to come back to the book of Job tonight. And we're going to be in the 23rd chapter. Now, I'm working on a sermon, a message, another one out of chapter number one. I've got several out of that chapter. Probably you could preach a long time and never get out of Job chapter one, but I'm not quite ready to preach it. I hope the Lord will let me preach it tomorrow night. And I believe it'd be His will if we'll look at this truth tonight for a little bit in Job chapter 23. And while you're turning, I want to say thank you for several things. Thank you for the good meals we've been enjoying. Thank you for the good place we've had to stay. And we've enjoyed the prophet's chambers, plural. And then thank you also for the expense check. I don't go very many places where they send me a check before I get there to help me get there. I don't know if it's because they're not that excited about me coming or what it is, but the church always sends us a check ahead of time to help us with fuel and things to get here. And so thank you so much for that. That is very thoughtful, and I appreciate it very much. And sometimes we go places, not as much as we used to, and I'm not exactly sure why, but sometimes we'll go places where they're not able to cover what it costs us to get there when you think of all the things involved. And so when you send a check ahead of time, that just helps us to get gas in the van and be able to get here. And so it's just thoughtful, and I want you to know we appreciate it very much. And all the folks that have worked hard on food this week and so on, just thank you for your kindness. And then thank you for being here in the service. I like to preach, but I like to preach when there's somebody in the pew. And so I appreciate you coming. All right, we're in the 23rd chapter of the book of Job, and we're going to start reading in verse number 1. Job chapter 23 and verse number 1. Then Job answered, excuse me, I've got a little cough again tonight. Usually what happens is I cough during the reading of the scripture, and then it kind of loosens up. So I'll have to stop and start again maybe. Then Job answered and said, "Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me, and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go backward, or excuse me, forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept, and not departed, declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." We'll stop there. And I want us to, I'm going to pray, and then when I get done praying, I want to preach a little bit on the work of God. And really, particularly, on what Job teaches us about the work of God. Let's pray a moment. Father, we love you, and we thank you for loving us, and I pray you'll help us tonight. I pray, Father, for liberty, for clarity of thought. I pray, Lord, for the anointing power of the Holy Spirit to preach the Word of God. And I pray you'll help us now. Get glory unto yourself and help some soul tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The work of God. I wonder, and I'm not preaching tonight on you and I doing the work of God, but I want to preach on how God does His work. You know, sometimes in our Christian life, we wonder if the Lord is at work. You ever been there? I had a fellow say to me the other day, he said, "Preacher, and I'm not arguing with him nor talking down upon him, I'm just telling you what he said. He said, "Preacher, you know, the Bible says in the book of Genesis that God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man." And he asked me, he said, "Do you think that God is not striving with sinners the way he once did?" I don't know about that. I've had a lot of people ask me questions about what God is doing and why he's doing it and why this is like it is or that is like it is. And to be honest with you, I don't have an answer. But I do have a very emphatic statement in this chapter about the work of God. Job says something in the middle of all of these words. He says this in verse number 9. Where he doth work. He doth work. Now I look at that passage and I'm reminded that Jesus said in the New Testament, "Hitherto doth my Father work." And I am convinced in my heart that God is at work. I can't always tell it. I can't always see it. I can't always explain it. But God is at work. And I want to talk to you about that work a little while tonight. I want to, if I can, encourage you in the matter of the work of God. Now, there are three things in this passage that interest me. First of all, I want to talk to you about the secret work of God. Because Job says this, he said, "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. Backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him." So Job is talking about the fact that many times God works in secret. Somebody say, "Well, preacher, is God working?" Oh, he's working, friend. Just because you can't tell what he's doing does not mean he's not doing something. I remember years ago hearing J.B. Buffington. I heard him on a cassette tape. That's how you know how long ago it was. If everybody here, you need me to explain what a cassette is, I can do it afterwards. But he was preaching at Piedmont Bible College. And he was preaching to young men and women who were in the college. And during the chapel service, he preached. And here was his text. His text was the book of Isaiah. And it went like this. "Who is among you that feareth the Lord and obeyeth the voice of his servant and walketh in darkness and hath no light?" He said, "Is there somebody here and you've been fearing the Lord, you've been obeying the voice of His servant, and yet you feel like you're in darkness and don't know where to take the next step? You ever felt that way?" Well, here's what he said. He said, "Trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon your God." It was a wonderful message, but I'll never forget what he said. In the midst of the message, he said this. He said, "Young men and women, I watched you walk into the auditorium today carrying your Bible." But he said, "There will come a day when your Bible will have to carry you." And that's the truth. You'll have to believe by faith that God is at work. Now, I want you to notice some things that Job said concerning this secret work. We can't always tell that he is at work. Notice that Job said this in verse 1. Then Job answered and said, "Even today." Now think about those two little words. "Even today." Even today, my complaint is my complaint bitter. Now, Job didn't say, "Today my complaint became bitter." Job said, "Even today." You know what he's saying? He's saying, "My complaint has been bitter for a long time." And I want to say to you, the length of our trial does not mean that God is not at work. Somebody said, well, I've been facing this a long time, preacher. Does that mean God is not working in it? No, it just means that His time schedule is not the same as yours. He doesn't work on the same time schedule that we do. As a matter of fact, preaching about Job and speaking of Job in James 5, 10 and 11, the Bible said, take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Now you and I look back at Job at the end of the thing, and we see what God was doing, but Job was in the middle of the thing, and he had a hard time finding God. And when you're in the middle of the thing, sometimes it's hard to find God, but here's what'll happen. When you get down finally to the end of the thing, you'll look back and say, oh yeah, that's what God was up to. I see it now. The length of our trial does not mean that God is not at work. And then the largeness of our burden does not mean that God is not at work. Notice what else he said in verse 2. Even today is my complaint bitter. Now watch this. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Job said, I tell you, what I'm facing, what I'm suffering is so heavy and so difficult, I can't even groan and get a groan appropriate to it. He said, I'm groaning all I can, but he said, my groan doesn't match up to how heavy my complaint is. He's saying, my complaint is bigger. My suffering is bigger than I can even express in my groaning. He's talking about how large his burden is. Somebody said, preacher, I tell you, this burden I'm facing is big. It's large. Surely it means that God is not at work. No. The Bible said, remember Abraham said, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Just because the burden is great does not mean God is not doing anything about it. It doesn't mean that He's not working. As a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians 10, the Bible said, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, sometimes in the Bible, temptation is referring to the temptation to sin or being enticed to sin. But sometimes temptation in the Bible is referring to trouble and testing. And God said that that temptation will not be above what you are able to stand. Now remember this. The reason that Job is saying what he's saying is because in chapter 1 and chapter 2, the devil has come to God and he said to Job, fear God for naught. He said, you bless the work of his hands. You put a hedge about him. He said, but put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Now, do you remember what God said? God said, the Lord said, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. And then later, Satan came back and said, the Lord said, hath thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth, a perfect man, upright, fears God, eschewed evil, and he doth retain his integrity, even though thou movest me against him without cause. And the devil said, yea, skin for skin. All that a man hath will he give for his life, but put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And what did the Lord say? The Lord said, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. Now, in both of those instances, God said, you can go this far, but you can't go any further. Now, somebody said, well, preacher, you don't know what I'm facing. You don't know how big it is. Well, let me encourage you by saying this. Whatever it is that's in your life, God knows what you can handle, and here's what He has said about it. You can go this far, but you can't go any further. He'll not tempt you above what you are able, but He will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And so the length of his trial or our trial does not mean God is not at work, even though it's a secret work. The largeness of our burden does not mean he's at work. And the lack of revelation does not mean that he's not at work. Here is Job, and here's what he said. He said, I looked for him. I looked ahead. I looked behind. I looked on my left hand. I looked on my right hand. He said, I can't find him anywhere. Somebody said, well, preacher, I cannot see the hand of God in this. That's where faith comes in. That's where faith comes in. I can't see what he's doing, but I know who he is. And I know he's at work. Now, Job said in the midst of this, listen now, listen to what he said in the midst of it. He said, I go forward, but he's not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him on the left hand. Now watch this, where he doth work. Now, Job just got done saying, I can't see him, I can't find him, but he's working. Where he doth work. You say, well, preacher, I've been looking all over for him and I can't find him. Well, just remember, he is at work. Even though you can't see him, he is faithful to work. So you have the secret word of God, work of God. And then you have, in this passage, what I want to call tonight the sure work of God. The sure work of God. You say, what do you mean the sure work? I mean he is at work. He is at work. Now I want you to notice something that Job says. He said, behold, I go forward, but he is not there. Backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, but I cannot see him. But watch verse 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. It is a perceptive work. So here's Job. He said, I don't know where he is, but he knows where I am. I don't know what he's doing, but he knows what I'm doing. See, it's not as important that you and I know where he is as it is that he knows where we are. He knows where you're at. You feel like you've been misplaced. You feel like somehow God has lost track of you. If God hadn't lost track of me, I wouldn't be in the mess I'm in. No. God knows right where you are. Job said, he knoweth the way that I take. It is a perceptive work. I want to tell you a little story. And I may have told it to you before. I don't know. I only have one life. I only have so many life experiences, and I hate to make them up. So sometimes I have to tell some of them over. Amen. But one time I was pastoring, and Rachel was born. Rachel was our first child, and she was born. She's a typical pastor's daughter. She was born at 1:26 in the afternoon on Sunday. I missed the morning service and the evening service. So I went home, I came back on Monday, and when I got back there on Monday, she'd been, they had her all hooked up to all these tubes and everything. She'd got sick in the middle of the night, she'd stopped breathing. They were doing a bunch of tests on her, a bunch of brain scans. I often tell her we never got back all the information from those. So then I went home, and on Tuesday I'm going to go drive back up there. And see how they're doing. You know, she was kind of out of the woods, and I went home late Monday night. So Tuesday morning, I got in my little Volkswagen Rabbit. You ever seen one of those Volkswagen Rabbits? I got in my little Volkswagen Rabbit that I think I paid $400 or $600 for. I can't remember. And I started up about the 45 minute or hour and a half. I can't remember. But I was in Goebbels, Michigan, and I had to go. I would go up 90, go through Allegan and get up. But anyway, I ended up in Paw Paw, and I was going to go up M40 and go through Allegan and then go to Grand Rapids where the hospital was. So I'm driving down the road on M40 between Paw Paw, Michigan and Allegan, Michigan. Now there's a lot of things there now, days, but back then there wasn't much on there. And I'm driving along, and all of a sudden as I'm driving, my car just quit. I mean, the motor just died. And I coasted off the side of the road. And I'll tell you the honest truth, I was having some very bad thoughts about German engineering. And the car's dead on the side of the road, and I looked at the fuel gauge. It was empty. It wasn't the Germans, it was the Irish that had messed things up. So I got out of the car. I probably breathed a little prayer, but there wasn't much spirituality in it. And I'm leaning against the car, a little disgusted. And this big old, I can't remember now if it's a Cadillac or a Lincoln, but it was a nicer car than I'd ever seen or ridden in. Pulled up, and it stopped, and I could just see through the tinted glass enough to see him do this, and the window went down. And that impressed me. Because all of my windows went down like this. So the window, he hit that thing, the window went down. He looked over at me and I looked at him and he said, you got trouble? I said, I'm out of gas. He said, hop in. So I got in. He said, now I don't know my way around here. Is there a gas station? I said, we'll have to go several miles up here to Allegan and we'll get gas up there. Okay, he said, let's go. So I'm riding in this car. I've never seen this man before in my life. And I'm looking at him and I'm thinking, I need to witness to this man. I need to talk to him about the Lord. But then I'm thinking, if I make him mad, I'll be walking. So I decided to ease into it. You know, I didn't just boom. I thought, well, I'll ease into it. So I looked over at him and I said, you go to church? That's how you ease into it. I said, you go to church? He said, I do. I said, you do? He said, yes, sir. So I felt a little better about the situation. So I just jumped in head first. I said, have you ever been born again? Do you know if you died, you'd go to heaven? He said, I am born again. He said, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I said, you are? He said, yeah. I said, that's wonderful. We started talking a little bit. I told him what I was doing, that I was going up to see my little girl, and that she'd been sick, and she was doing better, but I had run out of gas. And I said, what are you doing out here? He said, well, I live in Indiana, and I have businesses in the upper part of Michigan. And he said, every few weeks I have to drive up and check on those businesses and do some things up there. And he said, I always come up 94 and get on 131 and stay on the highway the whole way. He said, but today I was praying. And he said, I got to exit 60 here in Pawpaw. And he said, it just seemed like the Lord said, get off here. So he said, I got off here. He said, I have no idea why. I don't know where this goes. I'm not sure where it's even headed. I just know this is where the Lord told me to get off. Well, I knew why he was off there, because some idiot preacher let the gas run out of his car. That's why. And so he took me and he got me gas. He bought me a gas can. I didn't have one. And he bought me gas and he drove me back and I put the gas in the car and he gave me some money to buy Rachel a present. And then I tried to give him the gas tank back and he said, no, you keep it. You seem like the type might need it again. But here's the thing I want you to remember. He knoweth the way that I take. God knew where I was. And he sent somebody to my rescue. And you might feel tonight like, or if you don't feel like it tonight, it may be tomorrow or next week or next month or next year, you might feel like God has forgotten where you are because you haven't heard from him. But I want to assure you, he is a perceptive God. He knows all the facts and he knows where you are. So it is a perceptive work. And then secondly, this sure work is a purifying work. Well, preacher, if God is at work and I'm going through trouble, what's it all about? It is to purify you. See, our problem is we think we're pure enough. But God sees what we don't see. What we have a hard time seeing. So Job says this, he said, but he knoweth the way that I take, verse 10, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job said, I tell you what God's doing, and Job had a hard time seeing it many times through the book. But right here, he got a little handle on it. He said, I know what God's doing. He's trying to burn all the impurities out of me. I'm going to talk about this again in a little while, in a little different angle. But Job wanted us to know that when God is working on us, he is trying to make us more like him. You know, before there were mirrors like we have today, they would take polished gold, sometimes polished brass, but oftentimes depending on the wealth of the homeowner, polished gold, and they would use that gold to see a reflection of themselves. But if there are impurities in the gold, the reflection won't be right. So here's what God does. He wants us to be a reflection of him. But the problem is, we have so many impurities that are messing up the reflection. Because people are going to judge God by us. We are epistles. Remember in the New Testament? Known and read of all men. And some men will never open a Bible, but they've never opened a Bible. They've never studied about God. They've never thought much about God as far as looking for him and searching him out. But they have an opinion about God. And you know where they got it? Looking at you. And at me. Because we're supposed to be a reflection of him. And so what he does is he puts us in the fire and burns all the dross out until, I have a friend, Brother Gary Duty, used to sing with a group called Sound Doctrine, and he used to sing a song called The Refiner's Fire. And in that song, he told about the refiner will take the metal and he'll burn the dross out of it, and then he'll look at it and see if he can see his reflection. He won't quit burning and won't quit purifying it until the time that he can look at it and see himself, a perfect reflection of himself. That's what God wants to do with us. That's what God was doing with Job. That's what God may be doing in your life. I'm sure he is. The Bible said in 1 Peter 1:7 that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory. Whose praise and honor and glory? Not ours. His. So, it is a purifying work. But then thirdly, it's a partnering work. Now watch what he said. Now pay close attention to this, okay? This is important. But he knoweth the way that I take in verse 10. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. It is a partnering work. Now here's what I mean by that. Job seems to be confident. He's not always confident in this book, but he makes a pretty confident statement right here. He said, when I'm tried, I shall come forth as gold. How can Job be so confident of that? Here's why. He said, I'm confident of that because my foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. See, someone will say, well, God's in charge and God's going to work it all out. I understand the thought behind that, but listen to me now. That is fatalism. That is fatalism. We have a group of people. We have some preachers. Nowadays you're preaching, well, God's going to do what he's going to do. And you have no say in it. You have nothing to do with it. He's just going to do it. He's going to decide who goes to heaven. He's going to decide who goes to hell. He's going to decide. But listen to me. I believe in a sovereign God. But I also believe that I am responsible to be his partner. To work in concert with him. And so somebody will say, well, preacher, I'm in the midst of the trial. How can I be assured that it's going to turn out right? You can be assured if you'll make sure your feet do not leave his steps. You can be assured if you make sure that you keep his way, that you do not decline. If you will do your part, God will, he will bring you forth as gold. But you can't just say, well, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to live the way I want to live. And God will work it all out all right. That's not Bible. That's not Bible. God didn't save you without you receiving him as your Savior. Amen. Someone said, well, chosen before the foundation of the world. Well, you left out a couple words. Chosen in Christ. And God, in the mind of God, he will receive everybody who is in Christ. How do you get in Christ? You repent of your sin and believe the gospel. So it's not a matter of God's just going to do what he wants to do. It's a matter of God is working and I need to partner with him. I need to surrender my will to his will. And then God will work things out in my life. So there is the secret work of God and there's the sure work of God. Now, here's my last point, but it might take me just a few minutes. And I hope I don't make anybody mad, but I might. How many of you, I want to ask you a question tonight. How many of you in the service are left-handed? Raise up that left hand. How many left-handed? How many southpaws do we have? Left-handed. Amen. Okay. Now I'm not picking on you, okay? I'm not picking on you. Not yet. All right, now think about this. We've had the secret work of God and the sure work of God. Now, here's what we've got next. Here's the last point. We have the sinister work of God. You say sinister? Do you have a Webster's 1828 dictionary? Sometime, if you have one, if you can get a hold of one, I want you to look up the word sinister in your Webster's 1828 dictionary. Do you know what the definition of sinister is in the 1828 dictionary? Left-handed. What What about that? You didn't know that, did you? Left-handed. Now, I want you to listen to Job again. Verse 8. Behold, I go forward, but he's not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work. But I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. Now, Job said, I looked ahead, I couldn't find him. But he didn't say anything about him working there. He said, I looked behind, but I couldn't find him. But he didn't say anything about him working there. He talked about looking on the right hand, and he couldn't find him. But he didn't say anything about him working there. But he did say, on the left hand, where he doth work. Now that's interesting to me. God works on the left hand? On the left-handed side of things? Do you ever think about this? There was a day, and it's not so much like this anymore, but there was a day, if you were a child and you started school and you were left-handed, they would force you to learn to write with your right hand. Why? Because they believed, mistakenly, I think, that somehow you were awkward if you were left-handed. Think about the way we use the word left-handed. Now, this will get better. I'm not picking on you. Think about the way we use the word left-handed. If somebody gives you a compliment, but when you think about the compliment, it's more like an insult. It's an insult hidden inside a compliment. You know what they call it? A left-handed compliment. In Germany, if you were royalty and you married someone who was not royalty, you know what they called it? A left-handed marriage. What do they say? When you make some statement and they think it's just wild and ridiculous, they say, man, is he out in left field? Now, what does this all have to do with us? That's a good question. If the left hand, if we would consider it the awkward side of things, then what Job is saying is, God is working when things seem awkward. In other words, He's working in a place that is uncomfortable. See, here's what we think. God can't be at work. This is such an awkward situation. Job said that's exactly where He works. Something that doesn't seem right. Something that doesn't fit into our plan. Not only the awkward side, but the avoided side of life is the left-hand side. Now, back when in Rome, the days of the Roman Empire, when they would take their hawks out to hunt, they'd have their hawks and they would let them go to hunt birds. If those hawks came back on the left side, they considered it an ill omen and they would close the hunt down. And it has been that way in the past in history that the left side of the thing was the thing you don't want to get involved in. Now you think about this. You say, preacher, I sure don't want that to happen. I would not choose that. I would avoid that at all costs. And yet God works in that kind of situation. I'll tell you a little story. We have an old van. It's a 2005 Chrysler Town & Country, and it has 220,000 miles on it. And usually in the wintertime, we keep it around the house because sometimes in the summer, I go preach a camp meeting, and I'll be gone for several days, and the girls need something to drive when they're at home. Well, we put it in the garage and let it sit, but we decided this winter, you know, it's really not good for it to sit all winter, and Rachel and Eric have the baby, and did I mention I have a grandson? And so we decided we would loan them the van, and they could drive it during the winter, and it would help us, and it would help them. So we loaned it to them. Well, I had this bill come up, and it was a big bill. And I was not able to pay it. And I was looking all over trying to figure out, I'm going to sell something. And so I took inventory of what I had and the things I needed that I couldn't sell, I had to keep. And the things I could do without, nobody wanted. So I said, Lord, I can't do anything about this. You'll have to do something. I can't pay this, Lord. It's beyond my ability. You'll have to do something. Well, just a few days later, I got a phone call from my son-in-law, Eric, the father of my grandson, Jedediah. And he said, I've got bad news. I said, what's that? He said, Rachel's been in an accident. I said, an accident? Rachel and Jed. Is she all right? Oh, yeah, she's fine. I said, what happened? She said, a woman rear-ended her at a red light. I said, oh, okay. I said, you get the van home? Oh, yeah, I said, I got it home. So it happened that I had a couple of days, and so I drove up there. I was down south. I drove up there. And I was raised in Michigan. In Michigan, they have a thing called no-fault insurance, but they should call it your-fault insurance. Because no matter whose fault it is, it's your fault. And so, I don't know how it is in North Carolina, but that's the way it is in Michigan. Well, in West Virginia, it's not that way. Whoever caused the accident is at fault. Their insurance has to pay. So I drove the van. It was drivable. I drove it up to the car place, and I said, well, at Two Brothers Collision, I said, I've never been through anything like this. What do I do? He said, well, you have the lady's name? I said, yeah. He said, do you have her insurance company? I said, yeah. And she said, you got the policy number? I said, yeah. He said, you call the number and talk to him. So I dialed the number, and I don't know if Flo answered or not, but some lady answered, and I told her what happened about the accident. She said, okay. She said, we'll take care of it. And so we'll send an adjuster out. So maybe 2 weeks later, maybe not even that long, I'm driving down the road and this number comes on my phone. I don't recognize. And I answer the number and said, this Brian McBride. And I said, yes. And he said, this is so-and-so. I'm the insurance adjuster for Progressive Insurance. And we've looked at your car. And he said, I'm sorry to tell you that we're going to have to total your van. I said, really? He said, yeah, we're going to have to total your van. I said, okay. He said, here's how much we're going to give you. Guess how much they're going to give us? Not quite exactly, but very close. And that week in the service, a man walked up and handed me a check that covered the rest of it. He didn't know anything about it. So I got my bill paid, and then somebody said, you know, you can buy those vans back. I said, you can. I didn't know that. So I called them. I bought it back for $500. They're still driving it. The lady said, now we're going to have to charge you $500 because there wasn't that much wrong with it. And I thought, then why did you total it? But I didn't argue with her. Now listen to me. I would not have chosen that way. I would avoid an accident at all costs, especially my grandson in the car, my daughter. But God works sometimes in ways we would avoid. See, we go through a difficult situation, and we get offended by it, and all the time, God was working. We go through a situation, we're not happy about it, and we're upset about it, and all the time, it was God working on the left hand. Are you understanding me? On the side, we didn't think he would work. That's exactly where he worked. So he works on the avoided side, the awkward side, and the abandoned side. When it seems like there's no hope, when all seems hopeless, God works. Some of our dear friends, their little boy went out to get the mail. And he came up out of the ditch, and we don't know exactly what happened, but he ran out in front of a car and got hit. He's in very, very bad shape. And he's progressing, and he's getting better, but it's going to be a long, long haul before he'll ever get back to where he once was, if he does get there. We're praying he does. But in the midst of all that, great-grandma and grandpa, who they've been praying for years, have both trusted Christ. Amen. See, it's on the side where it looks like there's no hope. But God was working. So You say, well now, preacher, if I go through some deep and difficult and dark trial, I'll remember this. No, you better remember this in every circumstance in your life that comes in that you find uncomfortable. You need to remember that God works on the left-hand side of things. The awkward side. The avoided side. The abandoned side. The uncomfortable side. You know what would happen? We get in the middle of something and we want to be angry. But what we could do is walk back and say, you know what? That was God doing something in my life. That was God working. A little hard to see. A little hard to understand. But that was God working in my life. So how do you know? Because He works on the sinister side. The left-handed side of life. You know what we have? We have a God who is at work. Even if you can't tell it, He is at work. I want you to bow your heads a moment. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. Nobody's looking. I thought of this a few moments ago. I would not want to have PA trouble. I would avoid it. I would avoid it at all costs. But you know what? God works on the avoided side. Doing something in my life and in yours. But maybe tonight your trial and your difficulty is a lot bigger than a squeal in the PA. Your trial is a lot longer and a lot heavier. And you've been wondering about God. I want to remind you, He's at work. Cooperate with Him. Surrender to Him. Say to Him, Lord, I don't know what You're doing, but whatever it is, it's right. And I just want to be in obedience to You. Submitted to You. Make me like gold. Make me a reflection of Yourself, Lord. Now, Father, help Your people tonight. And maybe somebody tonight's in the midst of the trial and the difficulty. And I pray that You would strengthen them and give them hope. They might get a glimpse of You somehow. And if they can't get a glimpse of You, they would just by faith keep on walking with You. Isaiah said, "Who is among you that feareth the Lord and obeyeth the voice of His servant and walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon His God." So I pray You'd help us to do that, Lord, to trust in You and to stay upon You. And I pray somebody find some hope and some encouragement in the God that works on the left-hand side. You help us now, Lord. Sometimes Your work is to humble us. Sometimes it's to make us more aware of others. Sometimes it's to give us more mercy and help us to be more gracious. Sometimes it's to get a better glimpse of You, sometimes a better glimpse of ourselves. But it's all for the same purpose, that we might come forth as gold and be a reflection of Thee. So shine us up, Lord, and clean us out and make us more like You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet a moment.